for tuning in. Well, tonight's a big night, right? I was just watching Newt Gingrich give his Sieg Heil speech. Surprise! He's won in Georgia! Oh, my God, really? And Rick Santorum, he won Oklahoma. And Mitt Romney, he's won, I don't know, four or five states. And oh gosh, Rick Santorum is leading by about 3,000 votes out of 200,000 cast in Ohio. And Vermont went to Romney and Virginia went to, I am just so excited. I mean, this is just history being made. Isn't this wonderful? Don't you just love election night or Super Wednesday or whatever the hell this is? Oh, it's wonderful. It's just democracy in action. Woohoo! Newt Gingrich! What a clown show. What a collection of what am I trying to say? Spiritual and logical midgets just wandering around like bumper cars at a small town carnival somewhere in Oklahoma Panhandle. Bang, boom, bam, bim, bam, boom. Good God. Rick Santorum has won Oklahoma and Tennessee. The religious nutbags are out in force. Woohoo! We want Jesus on the ballot. Well, the closest you're going to get is Rick Santorum. Is that close enough? Yeah! All right, good. By the way, this hour is being sponsored by Anonymous in Seattle, who says thanks for turning a spotlight on the religious fanatics. You're welcome, Anonymous. Happy to do it. This is, I mean, it's pretty unbelievable to watch. I spent the last 15 minutes, seriously, right before airtime, watching Gingrich. And he got introduced by Calissus. First time I've heard his wife talk. And it's just, I mean, I am astonished. I'm astounded at the technology used to make her talk. Where did they come up with that? I mean, it must be some kind of a eye disc or something inside of her that just spins slowly around. I had no idea that animatronics had advanced to that point. There she was. Beep, beep, boop. Beep, beep, boop, boop, boop. Beep, beep, boop, boop. Beep, boop, 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 beep. And smiling. And with that painted on look. And every time, then when she finally got finished introducing Newt, I don't know, is that the first time she's introduced him? I have no idea. I don't follow this stuff that closely. This is like, I don't know. This is a contest to see who is going to have their ass handed to them in November by Barack Obama. That's all this is. And the Newtster up there saying, well, you know, I've challenged him to 7 3-hour Lincoln Douglas debates. Oh my God. Will you ever get over yourself, Newt? I mean, Lincoln, I'm the only one that can debate him. And you know what? What, Newt? I'll let him have a teleprompter. Oh, you Newt. That's a goddamn knee slapper. Oh my God. You're the funniest one out here, Newt. I can't tell you how much fun the past 8 or 9 months has been watching these people slice and dice each other. Even the Newtster said it tonight that his biggest, I'm paraphrasing, but his, don't paraphrase Malloy, somebody will get you for it. I'm paraphrasing, but I think what the Newtster was trying to say, was it the biggest threat to the day when he becomes president is the Republican establishment. I mean, he acknowledged it tonight. They don't like him. They don't like me. They've declared me dead. I've risen more times than Jesus and Lazarus put together. I keep rising. They keep trying to make me dead, but I'm not. And then Callista, with that, was it a red dress? Beep, boop, boop. Boop, boop, beep, boop. Boop, boop, beep, boop, 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 boop. Man. So anyway, that's what's happening tonight. Last night, Senator Roy Blunt, the Republican from Missouri, who suggested that requiring employers to cover health services they oppose constitutes an attack on religious freedom. Well, Blunt was at a some sort of a gala at the Kennedy Center in D.C. And he, like I said, he was the author of that amendment that would have allowed employers to refuse to provide birth control coverage and other health services based on their concept of God. God doesn't want anybody to do birth control. God said to go fruitful and be and go multiply and be fruitful or something. I don't know. But God does it. So why should we? Religious freedom is under absolute murderous attack by the Muslim Kenyan in the White House, Obama. Ah! You know, the typical right-wing destruction that just is ceaseless in this country. It will not stop. It doesn't make any difference how many people Rush Limbaugh calls a whore or a slut. It will not stop. It doesn't make any difference how many resolution or amendments that these Republican killers try to add to other legislation to push women into a little box. It will not stop. It will not stop. But he was at the Kennedy Center, Blunt was, to receive an honor for his service to education? What? Whose idea was this? Anyway, he was there, and all of a sudden, a member of the audience booed him. When Blunt was being introduced, the person shouted, "Blunt is the devil!" This is according to the Washington Examiner. A tense moment passed without comment before the ceremony continued. As Blunt took the stage, the heckler booed! Boo! Blunt is the devil! That's what this person hollered out. I don't know. It's just getting curiouser and curiouser, as Alice said. But that's what it takes. That kind of good old-fashioned, healthy... You know, why should Roy Blunt get some kind of an honor for education? This guy's a Republican. He hates education. He's a Republican teabag-loving senator who insists that Barack Obama is somehow, I don't know, what, worse than the Republicans. He should be booed. Every time he opens his mouth, every time any Republicans opens their mouths anywhere, they should be booed. They should be given the finger. They should be, people should turn their backs. People should gather by the hundreds to hear Newt Gingrich talk, and as soon as he opens his mouth, turn your back! What else are you going to do with these thugs, huh? Well, there are other things you could do with them, but... Your imagination is much better than my vocabulary, so I'll leave that part up to you. But it's just astonishing to watch this ongoing saga of how to destroy a society. I call it karma. I mean, don't forget how this country was formed. It was based on hypocrisy, slavery, genocide, mass killing, and the fact that only white male landowners could have a say in anything. And now, finally, the big karmic invisible whip is coming around. Sham! Just like that.
Mike Malloy. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
Yeah. Okay. Now it's Santorum's turn. Oh, God. Again, it's pretty obvious that what these Republican freaks have been doing for the past 6, 8, 9 months is just, you know, fighting with each other and spending tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars to see who's going to have his ass handed to him by Barack Obama come November. Oh, well, it makes for good theater. From Prairie 2, coloring between the lines and using only the red crayon. That's the subject line. Prairie 2 writes, the stock markets in the U.S. dropped 1.5% today from the renewed Sturm und Drang over the potential Greek bond default. The Eurozone is trying to force a 50% haircut onto the holders of Greek bonds in order to avoid their default. But the catch is that it has to be voluntary. If it's not, it becomes an actual default, and those CDOs, credit default swaps, start kicking in. I don't know what you're talking about, Prairie 2, but I'll continue. About 15% of Greek debt is held by investors not covered by Greek law, and they can't be forced to accept the so-called voluntary haircut. CDOs are a type of derivative, and there are many hundreds of trillions of dollars worth of these contracts in existence for all manner of things. The question is whether a Greek default would set off enough, okay, here we go again. All right, here's what it says. Would set off enough to these financial WMDs to create an unstoppable chain reaction. I think I know what he means. The problem with these insane contract arrangements is that they can be triggered by any significant downturn, not just a major default. A downgrade in a credit agency's rating of a bank or a nation will do it. They're all done in secret, so we have no real idea what the risk really is. It was a cascade of derivative failures tied to consumers that brought us within a hair's breadth of ending civilization in 2008. Damn, it was that bad? Well, that's right, it was. It was only the printing of trillions of dollars by the Fed that kept things going through the crisis, but we have no way of knowing if that will work a second time or not. At least this time around, we have a president who doesn't need to have the briefing books read to him while he colors the pictures. Well, that part's true, for sure. Unfortunately, it's not clear that the people writing the briefs really know what they're talking about. They've had 3 years to figure it out, and the Dodd-Frank Act gave them authority to do something about it. The Republicans in Congress, however, have refused to fund these activities, so we could be looking at the conflagration of all time. But the fire trucks are all up on blocks. Ooh. Even if this Greek tragedy is avoided, or this simply isn't the big one, we're still not on anything that could be called the right course. The Euro countries, other than Germany, are in for a rough 10 years at best, and there are those who don't want a happy ending at all. The same people, they must be all Republicans, the same people who have been using the IMF to loot and pillage the Third World are doing the same to Greece, and it won't stop there. Here in the U.S., none of the economic fundamentals have been corrected. Everything is still being run in favor of the very few. The only good thing is that more people are catching on to the truth of the problem. Our economy really belongs to the very many and needs to be run that way. Bruce Enberg, prairie2.com. Thanks, Bruce. I still have no idea what, and nobody, please, don't. I know some of you folks are, you know, very, very bright and fully understand this stuff. And you're itching to send me an email and explain it. Don't! I don't understand CDOs. I don't understand derivatives or credit default swaps. And I think if most people were honest, they would say the same thing. Mike, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I don't either. I have no idea. I have no idea what happened or why it happened. All I know is it's a huge casino, and the high rollers, the 1/100th of 1%, as Prairie 2 points out, not the 1%, not the 1/10th of 1%, but the 1/100th of 1%, have been playing the system. They've turned the global economic system into a huge casino. And these are all Republicans. These are all these vicious, vampiric Republicans, right-wingers. I shouldn't call them Republicans. They're not, even though they still use that term. These right-wing thugs like Limbaugh and the rest of these people It's their game. It's their world, so they think. But there is a great day of reckoning coming. Just ask Prairie 2. He'll tell you. All right, where are we? I'm watching the monitor here. Oh, Santorum's still talking. My God, what is that crowd of people? Who is that crowd of people behind him? This is on MSNBC. If you take a look, he's giving his victory speech for what? Oklahoma and Tennessee, I guess. I don't know. I think he's in Ohio. It's too close to call right now in Ohio, I believe, between Santorum, the religious fanatic, and Mitt Romney, the twister player. One of these days, Santorum or Romney is going to break his back from the way he convolutes and twists. What is it now in Ohio? Santorum with 39% of the vote. Romney was 36% of the vote. With 31% of the vote counted. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. River running free.
It's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Anonymous in Seattle, who says thanks for turning a spotlight on the religious fanatics. Oh, you're welcome. You know, speaking of religious fanatics, I'm watching Santorum here with the sound down now, obviously. And I don't know. Again, I don't know who these people are on the stage behind him. Maybe they're relatives, maybe they're friends, I don't know. Maybe they're somebody who was standing online at the Starbucks and he just invited them in. I have no idea. I have a feeling they may be family members. And I have a suggestion. Since we are up to our eyeballs in the media age, you know, it's not who you are, it's how you look. It's not what you do, it's what people think you do. It's not your brain power, it's your star power. Like so many people want to be celebrities in what field? Oh, no, they just want to be a celebrity. Well, I have a suggestion. This might be a money-making proposition, Kathy, for some enterprising soul out there. Maybe these already exist. Start an agency where you can get rent-a-family. You know, if you're a politician, so that instead of having someone like Calista Gingrich, boop, 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 beep, beep, boop, 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 you could have an actual human being out there. And if you're a politician that has a really creepy looking family, not necessarily ugly, but just creepy looking, kind of like the Addams family. So many people in the Addams family were just kind of attractive, you know, as far as ghouls and vampires went. But something, an agency where they can rent people who look alive, who look like they haven't had their souls sucked out by religious fanaticism, or that they haven't had their brains pounded into mush by Limbaugh and Beck and the rest of these right wingers. You know, normal looking people. It doesn't matter what's going on inside their heads. Just rent a family for these right-wing political candidates. Here you go. How many you want? Well, let me see. I need a couple of cousins, a sister. You got any brothers-in-law over there? Yeah, we got a bunch of brothers-in-law. Let me see a couple. Oh, I like that one. Yeah, he's got a uniform on. Oh, well, I like that even better. Do you have any wives? What, you're not married, Mr. Candidate? Well, yeah, but, you know, she's kind of camera shy. Why is she camera shy? Well, look at the picture. Ah! Ah! Oh, I see why. Okay. Yes. We have wives. But I think that would be a money-making business. A lot of actors that can't get work right now, and this would be a good one, you know, just because that's all right-wingers care about.
How do you look? What do you look like? What'd you have on? Did you see the award show last night? Yeah. What did this one have on? What'd that one have on? Oh, they had this. Oh, they had that. Oh, God, really? Well, here, let me. Oh, did my People magazine come yet?
Why not? Not that there's anything wrong with that necessarily, right? Federal prosecutors today revealed criminal charges against a group of alleged criminal hackers. And the U.S. Department of Justice, official who oversees the computer crimes unit, made it clear that there could be much more to come. Jason Weinstein, Deputy Assistant Attorney General, Department of Justice Criminal Division, was referring to Anonymous and Lulz Security, which is a splinter group. And Weinstein said there are many more like them. These comments came this afternoon during a forum on privacy in the digital age sponsored by the Constitution Project, a nonprofit organization, Constitution Project. Now, who would be behind that? Probably the Koch brothers or some of these right-wing poisonous bastards who patrol the airwaves to make sure everybody is doing the right-wing thing. And if not, well, then trouble ahead. Weinstein, now, you know, it all sounds great, doesn't he? He oversees the division's computer crime and intellectual property programs, among others. And he spoke about the growing number of cybersecurity threats and how the government needed to have the tools to go after these criminals. Ooh. The panel that was discussing things at this forum was focused on the Supreme Court's ruling in January, a couple of months ago, U.S. versus Jones, that said using a device to track a suspect's car without a search warrant violated the law. And the FBI General Counsel, Andrew Weissman, said that ruling has caused, quote, a sea change, end quote, inside the Justice Department. Also speaking on the panel, former U.S. Representative Bob Barr from right here in Georgia, former U.S. attorney and Libertarian Party presidential nominee back in 2008, he chided Congress for not moving swiftly to address issues relating to how third parties handle people's sensitive information and how much access the government has to that information. That's the smokescreen. You know what the reality is? The reality is groups like Anonymous, groups like the real people behind WikiLeaks, how they are refusing to accept the garbage, lies, and BS put out there by state departments, foreign ministries, governments in general, offices of the president, offices of the prime minister, whatever, and are revealing the filthy, rotten, controlling lies and deceptions that are put out by government. And all they're asking is, very simply, stop lying. Stop pretending that you're here about governance. You're not. You're here about fraud. So groups like Anonymous are being harassed by this. Of course, it's going to be very difficult to stop this sort of thing until we live in a complete police state, which is probably coming if these right-wing bastards have their way, these religious fanatics and the rest of these freaks have their way. Yeah, of course a right-wing police state has a possibility of developing, but it won't because there are enough of us who will say, no, that's not going to happen, and who will resist. But the idea that the state, whoever represents the state, has the power to lie, cheat, and steal. I mean, there was a lower court, not a Supreme Court, I don't think it was a Supreme Court, ruling that Fox News Channel in Florida was not violating any law by lying. that in fact, a news reporting organization, a local television station in Florida owned by or affiliated with this Rupert Murdoch's terror broadcast organization, that that station, if they wanted to put lies on the public airwaves, they had a perfect legal right to do so. So in light of that, I mean, if the Supreme Court rules that a television station or an appellate court, whatever it was, federal court, it was a federal court rules, I think it was maybe it was a state court, I really don't know, frankly don't care. But if a court rules that a television news station, ostensibly a news station, has a constitutional right to lie, imagine how that works its way up to a government has a right to lie. And does. WikiLeaks and Anonymous and the rest of these organizations, more power to you. Don't stop. Of course, they won't because they have the same goal as the rest of us communist radicals have, and that's to overthrow everything. Who is who's this? Mitt Romney's up now. Romney's in Boston. Oh, he won Massachusetts. Ooh! that's like Gingrich winning Georgia. When Gingrich gave his speech, he looked out at the audience, handpicked. I went to drive by polling places today, and the only thing people could vote for today was in the Republican primary. And so everybody going in the polls was a Republican, unless it was a Democrat who was crossing over to try to skew the election. Of course, if you do that in Georgia, it's not an open primary, it's a closed primary. If you go in and say you want a Republican ballot to vote in the Republican primary, come the general election, you have to vote Republican or stay home. So I'm assuming that everybody that voted today in these Republican or in these precincts here in Georgia were Republicans. And to watch these people, these tight-lipped, clutching, you know, their guns in one hand and their Bibles in the other as they march into the polling place to vote for the Newtster. Yes, Newt, we love you. And we love your wife. Boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, boop. She really looks good in all those diamonds. Beep, boop, 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 beep, boop. And that hair, we love that hair. Beep, boop, 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 beep, boop. Callista. All right. We'll be back after the break. Stick around if you have the guts. I'm Mike Malloy.
Once you didn't, you frickin' liar. You lied to us, you frickin' liar. Your party's going to hell in a blazing ball of fire. And you lie. You frickin' liar. You frickin' liar.
The world has changed after September the 11th. It's changed because we're no longer safe.
Saddam Hussein is determined to get his hands on a nuclear bomb.
Nuclear weapon.
Nuclear weapon.
Nuclear weapon.
You've lied to us, you frickin' liar. Your party's going to hell in a blazing ball of fire. And you lie. You frickin' liar, you frickin' liar.
It's UK, that's the Irish, that's the people.
Hammer time, go with the
bullets. Here's Mikey.
Before the hour, this hour has been sponsored by Anonymous in Seattle, who says, thanks for turning a spotlight on the religious fanatics. You're welcome. What's this on MSNBC's webpage? Two Murdoch journalists, if that's proper modifier for the word journalist, two Murdoch journalists reportedly attempt suicide as pressure mounts. What? By Reuters and MSNBC.com, staff, two senior journalists working for Rupert Murdoch's News International have attempted suicide as pressure mounts at the scandal-hit publisher of the now-defunct News of the World, according to media reports. The suicide attempts follow weeks of intense scrutiny of the role of The Sun, another Murdoch paper, in the phone hacking scandal and police bribery case. A man and woman who were reportedly involved in separate incidents were rescued in time. Blah, blah, blah. The two journalists have been checked into a hospital. These aren't journalists. These are employees of the Rupert Murdoch Terror Broadcast Global Meltdown Organization. A friend of one of them or whatever told the New Zealand-based something that it was not a suicide pact. The attempts were not simultaneous, and there is no suggestion of a suicide pact. I don't know if you follow this. I'm not following it until it finally comes here and they start arresting people like Bill O'Reilly and Glenn Beck. 11 current and former staff members of The Sun have been arrested this year on suspicion of bribing police or civil servants for tip-offs. On and on and on and on it goes. That's all that I was interested in. The fact that the Rupert Murdoch Terror Broadcast Network overseas, and you know, you got to understand something here. Operating this way in Australia, England, New Zealand, or I shouldn't say England, the UK, this is SOP for people who work for Rupert Murdoch. They don't give a goddamn about the truth. They don't care about anything. Lying, cheating, stealing, bribing. That's journalism. That's why when MSNBC or Reuters says Murdoch journalists, oh, please, for God's sake, that's journalism? Phone hacking, tapping into people's answering machines, paying the police, getting into the private phone calls of the British royal family? That's journalism. Going after murder victims' families? You're right. I can't wait till the investigation metastasizes to this side of the Atlantic and they start investigating. I think they already have. There already is, I believe, a grand jury. I think, witnesses are being talked to. There is an investigation going on right now, if I'm not mistaken, regarding hacking the phones of survivors. But family members of the victims of the 9/11 bombings in New York and the destruction of the Trade Towers. That phones of some of the families of the victims were hacked, and apparently, as this investigation unspools, it's looking as though, perhaps, that the Murdoch terror network was operating over here, too. Eh? Of course! It'll be a great day in America when these right-wing media scum are finally disposed of. Whoever they are, bloggers, heads of empires, radio talk swine, net television geeks. You know, when they're finally just told to take a long walk, to get out of town, because if you don't, we're going to take your pants off and cover you with tar and feathers. And then turn you loose. Get out of town, you scum. I don't know. It may never happen. The right-wing vermin, where it concerns media, have got such a... They're embedded now. They're like cancer cells that has metastasized all through the body politic in this country. Every place you turn, there is more of this media cancer, the lies, the distortion, the untruths, the half-truths, just the filth that is right-wing media of all sorts in this country. And they know who they are. They all know who they are. They revel in the fact that they are destructive. This is what they're about, destruction. Well, we'll see, boys and girls, huh? Right? All right, when we come back, oh, by the way, Lee in New York reminds me that there is such a place where you can rent better-looking families and extras. This is called Central Casting, of course. Matter of fact, you can go to their website, centralcasting.com, and you can find a politician's family there, cousins, grannies, aunts, uncles, nephews, so that on primary night, when you are struggling to have your ass beaten severely by Obama come November, you can surround yourself with nice-looking extras. Ah, this is my cousin, twice removed, Clara. Clara, say hi to the crowd that's cheering me. Hi, crowd! That's very good, Clara. Now be quiet. We'll be back after the break. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Malloy program. This hour is being sponsored by Anonymous in Seattle, whose message, the right counts on apathy and disillusionment to get their way. Thanks for fighting back. Thank you, Anonymous in Seattle. The right counts on apathy and disillusionment to get their way. Thanks for fighting back. Boy, is that the truth. One more quickie, and then moving on to something that is very disturbing, unless you're a right-winger. If you're a right-winger, it's, oh, okay, I don't know what you're talking about. But before I get there, Lawrence County, South Carolina, there's a Republican Party organization there. And before you can join the Lawrence County Republican Party in South Carolina and get on the primary ballot, they ask that you pledge that you've never had premarital sex and that you will never, ever, 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 ever look at porn again. Yeah, there you go. Here's more of your right-wing religious fanatic crazy bastards. Last Tuesday, the Lawrence County GOP unanimously adopted a resolution that would ask all candidates who want to get on the primary ballot to sign a pledge with 28 principles. Because the party, quote, does not want to associate with candidates who do not act and speak in a manner that is consistent with the South Carolina Republican Party platform. And they might as well add in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we have come to pervert him and twist him into something that is unrecognizable, but we still say he's, never mind. Among the principles, according to the Clinton Chronicle, Is the standard fare like opposition to abortion, upholding gun rights? These Christians always do that, right? What are you going to do? Shoot your Redeemer when he does show up? Is that what you're going to do? Bang! Wow. As well as a, quote, compassionate and moral approach to teen pregnancy, end quote. What? And a high regard for United States sovereignty. But then they get even more specific. This is from the Clinton Chronicle. You must favor and live up to abstinence before marriage. You must be faithful to your spouse. Your spouse cannot be a person of the same gender. And you are not allowed to favor any government action that would allow for civil unions of people of the same sex. Oh, no! You cannot now, from the moment you sign this pledge, look at pornography. Jesus, God, Republicans, you people, you right-wingers, you're just mad. You're goofier than outhouse rats. You really are. Now, as it says here, it's unclear how they will precisely determine this or regulate it. But an unidentified potential candidate for office in Lawrence County told the Clinton Chronicle that candidates will be interviewed by a three-person subcommittee. Oh, my God, can you see that? It's probably in a locked room, too. The committee will then recommend to the full executive committee whether to allow the candidate on the ballot. This is in a county. Of course, South Carolina is just clinically insane, the whole goddamn state. Not everybody that lives there. I've got friends who live there. But, I mean, you know, the whole apparatus of South Carolina is madness. Madness to the 10th power. Religious madness. Bobby Smith, of course, who chairs the Lawrence County Republican Party, explained that, quote, people feel the platform has not been adhered to. We want candidates to believe in and uphold the party's platform. Unquote. Though at first the resolution would have required candidates to sign the pledge, Bobby Smith clarified in a statement yesterday that, quote, due to various legal issues, the LCGOP cannot require that the candidate sign the pledge. Right. I mean, how do you tell somebody they can't run for office unless they sign anything? I mean, you just, the only requirement is you be a citizen and of a certain age. I mean, that's it. But this is South Carolina, where the whole state is insane. He went on to say, well, now, the committee reserves the right to vet its candidates and will encourage all candidates to uphold the principles, as well as petition candidates to sign a pledge. However, no candidate will be denied access to the primary ballot for refusing to sign the pledge. Of course, that way, if you're a right-winger and you are insane, but I repeat myself, and you want to run for office, and there is a not right-wing Republican, but equally insane candidate that you'll be running against who refuses to sign the pledge, then you can say, I signed the pledge, and Billy Bob Willie Joe didn't. I'm a Christian, and I love my wife. And my dogs and my gun. Not necessarily in that order. The state Republican chairman, Chad Connolly, told the Clinton Chronicle that he doesn't necessarily oppose the idea. He said, quote, if we are wearing the same uniform, I want to be sure we are kicking the ball toward the same goal. Or are you moving against me? God. So I was lounging around doing some afternoon reading today, and I came across something that the Michael in Roswell, New Mexico, had sent me two the links to two separate items. And, you know, Michael expressed some concern. The first one is by Glenn Greenwald at Salon, and the title is A New Speech by Eric Holder Cements Obama's Legacy as the President Who Pioneered Secretive, Chargeless Executions. And the way Greenwald reports it at a speech at Northwestern University yesterday, I think it was yesterday, Attorney General Eric Holder provided the most detailed explanation yet for why the Obama administration believes it has the authority to secretly target U.S. citizens for execution by the CIA without even charging them with a crime, notifying them of the accusations, or affording them an opportunity to respond, instead condemning them to death without a shred of transparency or judicial oversight. Really? The Obama administration? Well, I mean, that's Dick Cheney, but the Obama administration? No. As Greenwald writes, the administration continues to conceal the legal memorandum it obtained to justify these killings. And as the New York Times' Charlie Savage noted, Holder's speech contained no footnotes or specific legal citations, and it fell far short of the level of detail contained in the Office of Legal Counsel memo. End quote. I'll share with you when we come back the crux of Holder's argument as set forth in yesterday's speech. This is the justification that the Obama administration, and he is the top of the administration, Barack Obama, the justification for extrajudicial execution of American citizens with no warning, no accusation, nothing. Just bang, bang, you're dead. The hour. All right, so a couple of items about they're linked, and Michael and Roswell sent them to me about a speech at Northwestern University yesterday. Attorney General Eric Holder explained why the Obama administration believes it has the authority to execute people without even charging them with a crime. The crux of Holder's argument, as he stated in yesterday's speech, according to Glenn Greenwald, is this, quote, some have argued that the president is required to get permission from a federal court before taking action against a United States citizen who is a senior operational leader of Al-Qaeda or associated forces. This is simply not accurate. Due process and judicial process are not one and the same, particularly when it comes to national security. The Constitution guarantees due process, not judicial process. End quote, Eric Holder. And as Glenn Greenwald points out, when Obama officials, like Bush officials before them, refer to someone, quote, who is a senior operational leader of Al-Qaeda or associated forces, end quote, what they mean is this. Someone the president has accused and then decreed in secret to be a terrorist without ever proving it with evidence. The so-called process used by the Obama administration to target Americans for execution by CIA is, as reported last October by Reuters, as follows. Quote, American militants like Anwar al-Awlaki are placed on a kill or capture list by a secretive panel of senior government officials, which then informs the president of its decisions. There is no public record of the operations or decisions of the panel, which is a subset of the White House's National Security Council. Neither is there any law establishing its existence or setting out the rules by which it is supposed to operate. End quote. Well, if you're paying any attention right about now, you're sitting there going, oh my God. Greenwald goes on. He says, as Liam Panetta recently confirmed, the president makes the ultimate decision as to whether the American will be killed. Quote, Leon Panetta. The president of the United States obviously reviews these cases, reviews the legal justification, and in the end says go or no go, end quote. So, as Greenwald, it's a lengthy article. I'm just going to give you this last couple of lines. So that, Greenwald writes, is the process, so-called, which Eric Holder yesterday argued constitutes due process as required by the Fifth Amendment before the government can deprive someone of their life. That's it. Secret panel, recommendation, and the go order from the president. The president and his underlings are your accuser, your judge, your jury, and your executioner, all wrapped up in one, acting in total secrecy, and without your even knowing that he's accused you and sentenced you to death. And you have no opportunity even to know about, let alone confront and address his accusations. Is that not enough due process for you? At Esquire magazine, Charles Pierce, writing about Holder's speech, described it best. Quote, a monumental pile of crap that should embarrass every Democrat who ever said an unkind word about John Yoo. End quote. The reference there, of course, being to George W. Bush's attorney general who legalized torture. And all of us who screamed and ranted and raved about John Yoo, and now we have Eric Holder. Now, I know we're not, you know, this, come on, Malloy, it's not that important. Come on, just because he has the authority doesn't mean he'll ever use it. Well, he's already used it. You know what I'm saying? Now, the other piece is from Tom, it's a Tom Graham. It's from that website. It's written by Eyal Press, E-Y-A-L Press, like Bill Press. It's from Tom Dispatch. It's rather lengthy, but when we come back from this break, there's just a couple of points I want to share with you. All right. Okay, what's going on here? Rick Santorum has 38% in Ohio, and Mitt Romney has 36%. Ooh, ooh, NBC News is still calling Ohio too close to call. Ooh, oh, the tension is just unbearable. My sphincter muscle is just getting so tired from being so tense.
Haters of hippies like me, tree-hugging, peace-loving, pot-smoking, porn-watching, lazy. Choice and gay wedding, widespread digging hippies like me. Skin color blinded, conspiracy minded, protesters of corporate greed. We who have nothing, and most likely will till we all end up locked up in jails by conservative Christian, right wing Republican, straight white. American man,
there's a better world that's coming. I'll tell you why. Well, there's a better world is a-coming, don't you see, see, see. Better world is a-coming, don't you see. When we...
Entering the Flying Monkey Free Zone, it's Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Anonymous in Seattle. And the message is the right counts on apathy and disillusionment to get their way. Thanks for fighting back. Thanks for sponsoring the second hour tonight, Anonymous in Seattle. Okay. Glenn Greenwald, writing a salon, gives an example here of the justification put forth yesterday at Northwestern University by Attorney General Eric Holder as to why the President of the United States and the secret panel together have the right to try, judge, sentence, and execute anyone, but we're talking about American citizens, without that person even knowing that he or she has been suspected of something. Now, you can spin this any way you want. You can take the tack that the Obama administration takes. President Obama, you know, I've got a signing statement on some of this stuff. You know, I'll never use it. It's already been used. And if it's not going to be used, why is it signed into law to begin with? Prairie 2, in listening to this, says, since Congress gave the president blanket authority to conduct an undeclared war against so-called terrorists, that the president gets to choose, a war the president gets to choose, well, there you are. Constitutional law or due process only means as much as the body who issued impeachments, the House, and those who hold the trial for those so charged, the Senate, say it is. Did you get that? Constitutional law only means what the House and the Senate say it means until you violate it, or in considering that you violate it. They could stop this authority, this power of the president, anytime they wanted to by withdrawing the non-declaration of war. You know, the War Powers Act, I guess, is what he's referring to. So we'll consider that, of course. Now, over to the second article from the website Tom Dodge. What is it? Come on, damn it! What's the website? I've got it here somewhere. Tom Dispatch. Thank you very much. And what Isle Press has written about is an article: why no one would listen. Corporate whistleblowers get the silent treatment from Washington. As Mr. Press writes, whistleblowers have been under intense scrutiny in Washington lately, at least when it comes to the national security state. In recent years, the Obama administration has set a record by accusing no fewer than 6 government employees who allegedly leaked classified information to reporters of violating the Espionage Act, a draconian law dating back to 1917. We talked about this the other night. This goes back to World War I. Yet, when it comes to workers who have risked their careers to expose misconduct in the corporate and financial arenas, a different pattern has long prevailed. Here, the problem hasn't been an excess of attention from government officials eager to chill dissent, but a dearth of attention that has often left whistleblowers feeling no less isolated and discouraged. Consider the case of Layla Weidler, a broker who back in 2003... sent a letter to the Securities and Exchange Commission about her former employer, the Stanford Financial Group. A year earlier, it had fired her for refusal to sell certificates of deposit that she rightly suspected were being misleadingly advertised to investors. The company this woman warned in her letter, quote, is the subject of a lingering corporate fraud scandal perpetrated as a massive Ponzi scheme that will destroy the life savings of many, damage the reputation of all associated parties, ridicule securities and banking authorities, and shame the United States of America, end quote. It was a letter that should have woken the dead, and as it happened, couldn't have been more on target. Ms. Widler didn't stop with the SEC either. She also sent copies to the National Association of Securities Dealers, the trade group responsible for enforcing regulations throughout the industry, as well as various newspapers, including the Wall Street Journal, Washington Post. No one responded. No one at all. In the fall of 2004, Widler called the examination branch of the SEC's Fort Worth District office to relay her concerns. A staff person did hear her out, but once again, nothing happened. More than 4 years later, as the aftershocks of the global financial meltdown continued to play out, the news finally broke that this company, Stanford, had orchestrated a $7 billion Ponzi scheme which cost thousands of defrauded investors their savings. Now, Widler might have preferred the attention of the Espionage Act to the dead silence that greeted her efforts. And she was hardly alone. As with her, so with Eileen Foster, another senior executive at Countrywide Financial, who in 2007 uncovered evidence of massive fraud, forged bank statements, bogus property appraisals, perpetrated by a company that played a major role in the subprime crisis that eventually caused the U.S. and global economies to implode. No one listened to her. And no one in the government, at least, seems to care now, either. Interviewed recently on 60 Minutes, Ms. Foster said she would still be willing to provide the names of people at Countrywide who belong in jail if she were summoned to testify before a grand jury. She may never get the opportunity. As 60 Minutes reported, a Justice Department that has gone to such extraordinary lengths to prosecute national security whistleblowers has made no effort to contact her. The experience, then, of corporate whistleblowers like Ms. Foster and Ms. Widler underscore a truth highlighted by legal scholar Cass Sunstein in his book, Why Societies Need Dissent. The voices of dissenters who have the courage to bring uncomfortable news to light matter only to the extent that anyone pays attention to them. Now, this article goes on, and I just would hope, perhaps, maybe, that you would take a moment to check it out. It's at tomdispatch.com, I believe it is, tomdispatch.com, written by Isle Press, E-Y-A-L is his first name, Isle Press. Now, the right-wingers who get naked and monitor this program every night are sitting there going, oh, come on, boy, get to the good stuff. I don't want to hear about that. Come on, do liberal tricks for us. Come on, talk about that environmental crap. Go after God again. We love it when you go after God. This next one, when I first saw this story, I thought it was another story about Limbaugh. Pink slime, it's called. That's the ammonia-treated meat that shows up in a bright Pepto-Bismol shade. It's referred to in the industry as pink slime. It's been rejected by fast food joints like McDonald's and Taco Bell and Burger King. We talked about this a couple of months ago. But it's being brought in by the ton for the nation's school lunch program. Pink slime, ammoniated meat, quotes around meat. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is purchasing 7 million pounds of slime for school lunches. According to The Daily, officially termed lean beef trimmings, the product is a ground-up combination of beef scraps,
cow connective tissues and other beef trimmings that are treated with ammonium hydroxide to kill pathogens like salmonella and E. coli. It's then blended into traditional meat products like ground beef and hamburger patties. A microbiologist who worked at the Food Safety Inspection Service for 35 years told the Daily, quote, "We originally called it Soylent Pink. We looked at the product and we objected to it because it used connective tissue instead of muscle. It was simply not nutritionally equivalent to ground beef. My main objection was that it was not meat." Oh, Jesus, God. There's more of this. Pink slime. Now, a couple of years ago, the New York Times reported that despite the added ammonia treatment, tests of lean beef trimmings at schools across the country revealed dozens of instances of E. coli and salmonella pathogens. Seriously, if you have a kid or a grandkid in school, you may want to make sure he or she never buys a school lunch.
The Eastern world, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating, but you tell me.
Don't go to bed angry. Let Mike do it for you. It's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Anonymous in Seattle. And the message that comes with it, the right counts on apathy and disillusionment to get their way. Thanks for fighting back. You bet, Anonymous. I am armed and I am dangerous. Pink slime. Yeah, when I saw the headline, I thought, oh my God, not another story about Limbaugh. Or possibly Beck. Now, this is stuff that goes into so-called hamburger patties or ground beef products that kids are given in public schools in the lunch department. Connective tissue, eyelids, beef scraps, you know, glottises and epiglottises and little valves inside the body that open and shut to let stuff pass through, right? Carl Custer, a microbiologist who worked at the Food Safety Inspection Service for 35 years, said he and his partner, another microbiologist, concluded in a study that the trimmings, the stuff, is a, quote, high-risk product, end quote. But the scientists were pressured to approve this stuff with minimal safety approval under President George Herbert Walker Bush's administration. Of course, the USDA asserts that its ground beef purchases, quote, meet the highest standards for food safety, end quote. Now, according to this, controversy surrounding pink slime stems from various safety concerns, particularly dangers associated with ammonium hydroxide, which can both be harmful to eat and has the potential to turn into ammonium nitrate. That's a common component in homemade bombs that right-wing cowardly bastards make and then, you know, plant them in synagogues or federal office buildings and watch them go boom. It's also used in household cleaners and fertilizers. Between 2005 and 2009, E. coli was found 3 times and Salmonella 48 times. according to the New York Times, in this garbage, including two contaminated batches of 27,000 pounds of, quote, meat, end quote. So news of the Department of Agriculture's plan to bring 7 million pounds of pink slime to school cafeterias nationwide comes just weeks after the government announced new guidelines to ensure students are given healthier options for school meals. The new standards call for more whole grains and produce, as well as less sodium and fat. Mmm. A recent report by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention revealed that more than a third of high school students were eating vegetables less than once a day. And if they eat the stuff at a public school, they're eating... I don't know. Would you feed this stuff? You know what this would be good for? This would be good to set out in open boxes near a dump. And then wait for rats or right-wingers, you take your pick, to show up and eat it. Now, if it's rats, then you do what we used to do. We used to call it plinking. That's where you sit with a 22 with a scope on it. And when the rats come up to at the dump, you put your little 22 bullet right in the back of their heads. And you know, you may say I'm a cruel son of a bitch, but I found that to be exceedingly pleasurable. Because I figure every rat that I kill is one less rat that'll spread its filth and disease over the airwaves. Oops. I mean, you know, in the neighborhood. Woohoo! But we used to call it plinking. And it usually involved a lot of beer. And now, if you're part of the rat lobby and you're going to send me an email now and say, oh, you shouldn't kill our little furry vertebrae cousins, I would say to you, no, you're wrong. A rat is a rat. No matter if it's four legs or two, a rat is a rat. So anyway, that's what this pink slime reminds me of, something that would be used to attract rats. Ah, Soylent Pink. Oh, no, well, here's Prairie too. It isn't that eating connective tissue is any big deal. That's the stuff that holds the steak together. It's how they acquire this stuff. When the carcass is moving down the chain, there's a moving walkway underneath that catches the trimmings. This includes any bits of intestines, organs, or the contents of same that weren't removed completely on the previous section of the processing. This all has to be cleaned out before it reaches the USDA inspector, or the caught carcass will be rejected for more work or condemned for non-human use. The stuff on the moving floor contains bits of these trimmings and any manure or such leakage from cysts and such that the cattle had. It's supposed to go to tankage, cheap dog food, soap, and such. Now it's known as school lunch. Oh, my God. All right. Stick around. We have another hour. We're going to take some phone calls, I think, this next hour. So if you want to join in, 877-996-2556 is the number. 877-996-2556. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Program. This hour is being sponsored by Anonymous from Seattle, who says, this hour, thanks for pointing out the false equivalence from the right. Oh, yeah. Anonymous from Seattle, sponsored all 3 hours tonight. Thank you very much. This hour, thanks for pointing out the false equivalence from the right. I want to mention, we have a guest tomorrow night. His name is Cliff Schechter. He's the author of The Real McCain, Why Conservatives Don't Trust Him and Independents Shouldn't. He's a nationally syndicated columnist, progressive PR strategist, and author of the just-mentioned book. In 2008, he served as a spokesperson and a communication strategist for the Democratic effort to take back the state house in Ohio, which was ultimately successful. And that was the first time since 1994 in the state of Ohio. He also wrote an expose in 2004 on Republican Cleveland area Congressman Steve LaTourette, exposing that man's relationship with a former chief of staff turned lobbyist who was using congressional loopholes to lobby a committee on which he sat while living with him. And at Salon.com, he had an article a couple of years ago called Sweetheart Deal. That was the title of it. Anyway, Cliff is going to be on. He is also, he owns a couple of radio stations, or he manages them, right, Kathy? And we are going to talk about that. So that's to, and the election, yeah. Yeah. And that's tomorrow, the second hour, I believe. All right, so be here for that. You know I don't do guests, so this has got to be something unusual. To the phones. Paul is in Ackworth, Georgia. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Mike. Good to talk to you, and thanks for having me aboard. I really appreciate that.
Sure.
I wanted to, you know, this is so laughable. I've got Current TV on in the background, and I'm watching all the numbers come in. It's no surprise that Leroy would walk away with Georgia. Just no surprise at all. I mean,
yeah, what's the big deal about that? I mean, did you watch any of his victory speech tonight?
No. The only thing that...
If you get a chance, you ought to do it. I was sitting in here watching it, laughed so hard, I almost peed myself. But especially when you know, his robotic wife introduced him. It's just, I don't know. These two are from some other dimension. They really are.
Gotta be. I mean, you know, when you consider he's not really from Georgia, and for those who don't know, he's actually from Pennsylvania. That's hardly Georgia.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'll forgive him for being a military brat. Daddy was a Benning or whatever the deal was. Graduated from school. Hey, I could deal with him. Don't say he's from Georgia.
Hey, Paul, you're breaking up pretty bad here. We're catching about every other word. Are you driving?
No, you gotta love, you gotta love internet.
All right,
phone.
There you are. Now you're loud and clear again. Okay, go ahead. So you forgive him for being a military brat. He's also some kind of a freak. This guy really thinks that he is a transitional figure, someone who's going to lead us boldly into the 21st century with Callista by his side. I don't know. He reminds me of those old Soviet Union posters, you know, with the worker with his hand up in the air and a fist looking bravely into the future, while alongside the male worker was a female worker holding up a sickle. And, you know, they're staring into this off-the-poster future with this look on their face like, yes! That's what New reminds me of, that man.
Well, if you could only see my Facebook page, I've got a poster. I think I got it from one of the other progressive groups. And what it has is a kind of a Nazi soldier, you know, doing the... bent arm with the flat showing his
right.
Well, what's supposed to be the swastika, but instead it's got the elephant. The Republican.
Hey, listen, Paul, you're breaking up again, real badly. I'll tell you what. Can you Can you just call right back in?
Yes, I will.
All right, do that. See if you can do that. If the line stays open long enough, see if you can do that. Brian is in Everett, Washington, listening online. Hello, Brian.
How's it going? I was just wanted to comment on the well, a couple things. But you're talking about the protection for whistleblowers,
right?
And this kind of thing. You have a situation with that, and this is what it is. It isn't a whistleblower that you have inside dirt. Generally, the process that happens to a person that happened to me a long time ago, when it's like I questioned the official story of how the original Reese's peanut butter cup was formulated, because the commercial showed one scenario and it didn't appear to be to make sense. I mean, things like that. You start asking questions,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
That can't be how the original Reese's peanut butter cup was made by accident like that. Someone had to design it,
mm-hmm.
you know. And you start asking questions like that, you're going to end up being psychiatrically drugged and have to confess to a bunch of crimes that you didn't do.
No, wait, Brian, I happen to love peanut butter cups. Is there some?
Yeah.
Is there anything wrong with them?
No.
Oh.
Well, they're not good for. I don't need sugar anymore. I try to eat healthy.
Oh well, no. Of course, sugar's bad, and we're all going to die. But I still like peanut butter cups. You know, I just can't.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I had an opportunity to have Raisinets yesterday. But I thought twice about it. No, I. So
right.
It's one of those things. I've you know. It's like I don't know. Am I a nerd? Am I clean? And what am I? You know, have I gone completely to what? Since I'm not a Christian,
right.
I'm heterosexual, so I can't belong to that group. You know. So I don't know what I'm going to do.
I don't either. This is very strange. Well, I'm glad you didn't eat the chocolate covered raisins. They are really food from hell. They're so bad for you. They rot your teeth, your insides, make you goofy, and speed you up.
Yeah, well, and also psychiatric drugs do that, and too much alcohol do that, or the wrong media, interacting with either media figures or people who maybe appear to be your friends and maybe really aren't. You know,
right.
Or maybe you're stringing you along, giving you a line. You know, or you were talking about also. Trapping rats, pink slime traps rats.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Is it like the fly paper of most of the talk radio? Is the fly paper scenario of most talk radio also to try to embarrass people and trap people into really being a
it is
really looking stupid? Is that what it is?
It is.
Is that how that works too?
Yeah, it is. Except you know, if you talk to someone who says they're a liberal talk show host, they're not going to trap you into that. But,
okay.
But that's what...
Not like you used to do.
No, not at all.
Okay.
That's what right-wingers do, Brian, and it gets too messy and it gets nasty. But on the other hand, right-wingers are just vermin to begin with, hence the pink slime. Brian, thanks for checking in. Good to hear from you. Take care. Kevin is in Colorado Springs. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Good evening, Mike.
Hi.
Just got back from doing my civic duty at the Democratic caucuses.
Yeah?
And no Randall Terry on the ballot. I was impressed.
I thought he was going to run against Obama.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but he wasn't on our ballot.
Oh, my goodness. And this is in Colorado Springs. Y'all had a Democratic primary there?
Yeah, this was like the local caucuses, and then and on the 24th we had the county caucuses, and then in April the state caucuses. So the Republicans had theirs about a month ago, and I wrestle with this argument that you have of not voting for Obama.
Hey, can you hold a second, Kevin? Let me put you on hold for a minute because I got to do some commercials here, and then we'll come back. Stay there. We'll be right back. True Seekers, stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Not chicken in the chicken chow mein. Seems to me I ordered sweet and sour pork. But Garfield's on my fork. He's purring here on my fork. There's a cat in the kettle at the picking room. The place that I eat every day at noon. They can feed your cat and you'll never know. Once they wrap it up in dough, boy. They fry it real crisp in dough. Chowlin asked if I wanted more as he was dialing up his buddy at the old pet store. I said, not today, I lost my appetite. There's two cats in my belly and they want to fight. I was sucking on a rolling in a Tums or
Obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. What we're talking about here is a study in psychological science, a Canadian study published last month that reveals that people with conservative beliefs are likely to be of low intelligence. And the evidence is irrefutable. And, of course, you know that from the right-wingers that you occasionally are forced to interact with, whether they're in your civic group, your school parent group, your if you go to church or synagogue or mosque or wherever, you know who these people are. And you tend to stay away from them. And you know why? Because they have the ability, right-wingers do, conservatives do, to suck your soul. And they don't know what I mean by that term, soul. Suck it right out of you. These are vicious people. Anyway, Monpiot, George Monpiot, writing in The Guardian a couple of weeks ago, goes on here, drawing on a sample size of several thousand and correcting for both education and socioeconomic status, this study looks embarrassingly robust. The study can be challenged, but when it has been challenged, George is saying, the numbers hold. The reality of the study holds. It shows that prejudice tends not to arise directly from low intelligence, but from the conservative ideologies to which people of low intelligence are drawn. In other words, if your IQ is 90, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a prejudiced bastard and you want to condemn everyone who doesn't believe the way you do to hell after you cut their throat. It simply means that if you are of low intelligence, you are drawn toward conservative ideas, and the conservative ideas are the poison. Make sense? Of course it does. Of course it does. Conservative ideology, George points out, is the only, or I should say, is the, what he calls, critical pathway from low intelligence to racism, for example. Those with low cognitive abilities are attracted to, quote, this is what the study says, right-wing ideologies that promote coherence and order, and, quote, emphasize the maintenance of the status quo. In other words, coherence and order. What does that sound like? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Goose step, march, North Korea, Nazi Germany, the old Soviet Union, right? Coherence and order. And emphasis on the maintenance of the status quo. You've probably found, I know how I've found, that right-wingers are by nature cowardly. Where it concerns any kind of forward movement. No, I don't want to do that. No. I wonder how conservatives ever even manage to get on an airplane and travel someplace. But anyway, George Monbiot writes that even for someone not yet renowned for liberal reticence, that would be him, this feels hard to write. It's hard to write that those with low cognitive abilities are attracted to right-wing ideologies that promote coherence and order and emphasize the maintenance of the status quo. You don't want to believe that. I, as a progressive, well, I'm not a progressive. I am a left-winger. I, as a left-winger, as I went through my change from being a Democrat to a liberal to a progressive, to a left-winger. As I went through that, I used to think, you know, I've got friends that I'd like to bring along on this journey of discovery with me. Now, I didn't think of it in those terms, but what I noticed was that so many of the people that I thought, going all the way back to high school, that I thought I shared similar beliefs with turned out to be, no, they're not coming on this trip, Mike. They're conservatives. They're right-wingers. They're terrified of where you're going. Not that where I was going was unique or different. Millions of people take the path I've taken. But tens of millions do not, because they are right-wingers. They are cowards. They are terrified of any kind of change. They are racists. They're hate-filled religious bigots. Every single one. And don't be fooled by the, you know, the smiling religious person. Oh, yes, well, God loves you, and so do I. I'm going to pray for you. What does that mean, you're going to pray for me? Well, you know, if you don't repent, you're goddamn doomed. What? Yeah, excuse me for using that word, but, you know, you have to repent. You have to confess.
Confess what?
Confess the fact that you're human.
Oh, really?
Yes, but my God will forgive you of everything. You know, you've had those conversations. You've had those conversations with the religious bigots, the political bigots, the racial bigots. You've had those conversations until you finally say, I have to get shed of these people. I've got to get away from them. I've got to get away from them. So as you go through your life, you find that you don't really have to, in all instances, make a concerted effort or a concentrated effort to divorce yourself from somebody. They kind of get left behind as you continue your walk. All of a sudden, they're not beside you anymore. They have wandered into the thicket of conservative thought, if that's not an oxymoron. They have wandered into religious bigotry. They have wandered over to the point where they say, well, I don't like black people or queers. No, because says in the Bible, etc., etc., etc. More of this when we come back.
Shout the last word. Put your good sense out the pasture. Drop your IQ. That's what I do. My advice to girls and guys who want to be a Nobel Prize finalist. Rocket scientists, try applying this. Keep the custom.
Go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. Back to George Monbiot's take in The Guardian of the UK a couple of weeks ago on this massive Canadian study published in the journal Psychology Science or Psychological Science that revealed that people with conservative beliefs are likely to be of low intelligence. And as Monbiot says, this is not to suggest that all conservatives are stupid. There are some very clever people who are in government or advising politicians or running think tanks, writing for newspapers, who have acquired power and influence by promoting right-wing ideologies. But as Monbiot points out, what we now see among their parties, however intelligent their guiding spirits may be, is the abandonment of any pretense of high-minded conservatism gone. On both sides of the Atlantic, conservative strategies have discovered that there is no pool so shallow that several million people won't drown in it. And you know what he's talking about. Religious maniacalism, is that a word? Political craziness? Whether they are promoting the idea that Barack Obama was not born in the U.S. or that man-made climate change is an eco-fascist, communist, anarchist conspiracy, or that the deficit results from the greed of the poor, they now appeal to the basest, stupidest impulses and find that it does them no harm in the polls. Oh, isn't that the truth? Take a look at this vile Doughboy Gingrich. Take a look at this flip-flopping schizophrenic, no offense to real schizophrenics, Romney. Take a look at this religious fanatic Santorum. And then all the people in the Republican primaries who have fallen by the wayside to be trampled on by this crowd of ideologically insane right-wingers. Who's next? Bring us the next one. Blah! Sick bastards. So the Romneys and the Santorums and the Limbaughs, and especially this pig Limbaugh, and the murderous Glenn Becks and the rest of these people know that all they have to do is to appeal to the basest, stupidest impulses, and they're going to be famous, they're going to be on television, they're going to make lots of money, they're going to be quoted, their books will be read. Hooray! By this crowd, this unending pool of halfwits who are conservative. Now, as George writes, don't take my word for it. Listen to what two former Republican ideologues, David Frum and Mike Lofgren, have been saying. Frum warns that, quote, conservatives have built a whole alternative knowledge system with its own facts, its own history, its own laws of economics, end quote. Frum, David Frum. And the result, Frum points out, is a, quote, shift to ever more extreme, ever more fantasy-based ideology, which has ominous real-world consequences for American society, end quote. Only insofar as what Montpiat said at the very beginning, that today's progressives stand back and watch this, hands over their mouths, as the social vivisectionists to the right of the right slice up a living society. Tied up in knots of reticence and self-doubt, the progressives will not shout stop, or I might add, do whatever is necessary to make this stop. Lofgren, Mike Lofgren, complains that, quote, the cracked outliers of two decades ago have become the vital center today, end quote. People like Limbaugh, people like Beck, people like Santorum. 20 years ago, even before Limbaugh went off his nut and destroyed his brain with his drug addictions, 20 years ago it was obvious he was a conservative oaf, but occasionally he could make somebody laugh. You'd listen to him, they go, and no, the jokes weren't necessarily at the expense of the poor or the challenged or different so-called minorities. Just funny stuff about politicians, but that's long gone. Limbaugh has become the poster boy for self-indulgence to the point of gross obesity, driving himself deaf with drugs, pushing innocent housekeepers to go out on the street and score them for him. There's your conservative leader. Yeah. So the crackpot outliers of two decades, and don't even get me started on Beck what's his name? I can't even retain their names. They Bill O'Reilly. They just disgust me so much. But these people would have been laughed at. What was O'Reilly doing 20 years ago? Running Access Hollywood or something? And what is he now? This great right wing decision maker? Are you kidding me? No, you're not, and I understand that. The Lofgren goes on to say that the Republican Party, with its, quote, prevailing anti-intellectualism and hostility to science, is appealing to what he calls the low-information voter or the misinformation voter. These are the Limbaugh crowd. These people make up the Limbaugh crowd.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what to think. Across the fruit of plain here, border to border, coast to coast, you know, that woman's a slut. Well, she needs somebody to buy her birth control pill so she can have sex all day long, right? Like I, you know, try to do with my little blue thing, my little blue pills there. When I go to the Dominican Republic, what do you think, I'm going down there for the beaches?
Jesus. And as George points out, while most office holders probably don't believe what he calls the, quote, reactionary and paranoid claptrap that they peddle, quick example of that is George Romney. He doesn't believe that stuff. And you know he doesn't.
But these dribble-headed right-wingers who vote for him, yeah,
you know, Obamacare is poison, but Romneycare is good, good. Romneycare good, Obamacare bad. Romneycare good, Obamacare bad. Romneycare good, Obamacare bad.
Only he takes it to the next level. No, no, my Romneycare was bad, too. And the right-wingers just sit there, yeah, okay. Paranoid claptrap. And as Lofgren points out, the former Republican ideologue, they, the right-wing politicians, cynically feed the worst instincts of their fearful and angry low-information political base, end quote. That's a great term, low-information or misinformation voter, the low-information voter. They turned out by the hundreds of thousands yesterday in Super Tuesday. There they were. I'm voting for Santorum. Why? Oh, he believes in Jesus. Oh, okay. Well, I'm voting for Romney. Why? He's handsome. Oh, okay. I'm voting for Gingrich. Why? Well, he's the only one that could get Obama in Lincoln Douglas debates for 3 hours, seven of them. Who was Lincoln? You know, the president. Who was Douglas? You trying to confuse me, you goddamn liberal? Right. And as George points out, these are the perfect conditions for a billionaire's feeding frenzy. Any party elected by misinformed, suggestible voters becomes a vehicle for undisclosed interests. Think the Koch brothers. Think, what's his name, Adelson, this creepy bastard that is backing Gingrich. A tax break for the 1% is dressed up as freedom for the 99%. And you can watch these mouth-breathing right-wingers do this every single time they walk into a voting booth.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think rich people ought to have great tax breaks, you know, because someday I'm going to be rich.
How are you going to be rich?
Well, I'm going to invent something.
What are you going to invent?
Well, I'll know something.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what are you doing right now?
Well, I'm unemployed.
Why are you unemployed?
Because Obama was born in Kenya.
Ah, I see. Okay. And at that point, you start to walk slowly away from this freak. The regulation that prevents banks and corporations exploiting us becomes an assault on the working man and woman in this backward-ass world of conservatives. Those of us who discuss man-made climate change are cast as elitists by people who happily embrace the ideas funded by think tanks that are run by ExxonMobil and the Koch brothers, who have all of a sudden become the authentic voices of the working class, right? There's no global warming! How long has Limbaugh been saying that? How long has this gross, obese, drug-addled bastard been saying that? And how many right-wingers have sucked it up? D.I.C., we will pray, we will stay wide open. Don't analyze, don't go that way, don't live that way. That would paralyze your revolution. Don't analyze, don't go that way, don't live that way. That would paralyze your revolution. Before the hour, finishing up here, George Monbiot in the Guardian of the UK a couple of weeks ago talking about this
massive Canadian study published in the journal Psychological Science, which revealed the low intelligence of conservatives, and the attendant dysfunction that goes with low intelligence. Whether that dysfunction manifests in political outlook, religious adherence, economic understanding, everything, child rearing, sexual relations, all of it corrupted by the fact that conservative ideas overlay everything about the person's life. And once that happens, I get the study. I have not read the study. I'm only reading what other people are writing about it. So I don't know if the study contained any kind of hope for these poor, miserable bastards, these conservatives, these right wingers. If there is a way to scrub their brains of this poison, I guess it's possible, because David Frum and Mike Lofgren, two former Republican ideologues, and David Brock is another one. These are noted former right-wingers. It was David Brock who has now become, I would put him in the leftist, well, no, probably in the progressive category. But he's the writer who kind of led, for the American Spectator, the search for bimbos in when Clinton was running for president, what they called bimbos. A bimbo eruption, that's what they called it. He's also the one who wrote about Anita Hill, that she was kind of slutty, kind of nutty. So if anybody had right-wing credentials, it was David Brock and David Frum and Mike Lofgren, all of whom have now come out of the ether and realized what a filthy, vile, horrific life view it is if one is conservative. George Monbiot concludes this article. When I survey the wreckage, I wonder, however, who the real idiots are. Confronted with mass discontent, the once progressive major parties, as Thomas Frank laments in his latest book, Pity the Billionaire, triangulate and accommodate, hesitate and prevaricate, muzzled by what Thomas Frank calls, quote, terminal niceness, end quote. Yeah, you won't find that on this program, will you? I'm a raging son of a bitch. There's no niceness here. If you're looking for it, tune in to Tom Hartman. He can be nice. Tune in to who else can be nice? Peter Werby can be nice. Norman Goldman, he can be nice. I, on the other hand, am a bastard. And as Monbiot says about these nice progressives, they fail to produce a coherent analysis of what has gone wrong and why, or to make an uncluttered case for social justice, redistribution, and regulation. The conceptual stupidities of conservatism are matched by the strategic stupidities of liberalism. Amen, George. Yes, he writes, conservatism thrives on low intelligence and poor information, but the liberals in politics on both sides of the Atlantic continue to back off, yielding to the supremacy of the stupid. Not on this program. Now, you can read as much of George Monbiot as you want to by going to his website, M-O-N-B-I-O-T, Monbiot. Say it any way you want. Monbiot, Monbiot, Monbiot. I don't give a damn. Go to his website, Monbiot.com, M-O-N-B-I-O-T.com. And you will find some very intriguing reading. It really isn't necessary, although I'll continue to do it on this program, making this case of the absolute stupidity and degeneracy of conservatives, no matter if they're religious conservatives, political conservatives, it doesn't matter. Conservatism is like some kind of rancid decaying animal by the side of the road out in the country. It just lays there. First the birds come and pick at it, and then finally, eventually, the maggots start swarming. This, to me, is what conservatism is, that dead thing laying there. And slowly but surely, conservatives are drawn towards that dead thing. Conservatism is a dead, nihilistic, negative, nasty ideology, no matter how you apply it. So on this program, yeah, I may put my foot in it once in a while, but I will guarantee you that you will never hear any waffling here on the Molloy Show. These people are what they are. Scum, swine, liars, prevaricators, distributors of half-truths, untruths, misstatements, lies, deception, fraud. And they are also, and above everything else, cowards. Enough said? Maybe for tonight. I'll see you tomorrow. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Molloy.